Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, February 22nd, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 38, the third paragraph down. It's the last paragraph on that page. Some of you are thinking, and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kim T., the 12 Traditions, Terry H., and the readers of the text are Betsy H., Laura R., and Brandy M. And the share ID for Sunday, February 21st, is 16,466. That's 16466. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, February 22nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,449. That's 16449. The newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements coordinator would be Leslie Lim. Somebody is unmuted, please. Mute your phone. Thank you. Okay, our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kim T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. This is Kim T. in Northern Michigan, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Kim T., for your service this month. The 12, and I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Through God's grace, one day at a time, I am not cured. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, OA Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service in February.
Well, thank you very much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 38, the third paragraph down on that page. It's the last paragraph, and it begins with, some of you are thinking, and we will study that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Betsy H. to get us started. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Some of you are thinking, yes, what you tell me is true, but it doesn't fully apply. We admit we have some of these symptoms, but we have not gone to the extremes you fellows did, nor are we likely to. For we understand ourselves so well after what you have told us that such things cannot happen again. We have not lost everything in life through drinking, and we certainly do not intend to. Thanks for the information. I can definitely relate to this. This paragraph is coming after a few different paragraphs where we've been talking about the jaywalker, the person who's obsessed with running in front of fast-moving vehicles and who can't seem to stop and starts to get injured a lot. And people think he's crazy. And so then we come to this paragraph, and definitely my brain could tell me, like, okay, well, I don't have all of the symptoms that some of the people in OA have. You know, maybe I haven't eaten the quantities as big as some of my fellow OAs. Maybe this doesn't apply to me. Maybe I could just know that this is it's a bad idea to overeat, and I could just stop on my own. And I'm sure that some people can do that, and that is great. If they can, they don't need a 12-step program for food. But in my case, even though I didn't eat as large of a quantities, you know, when I was in the active disease, I didn't have as much weight to lose. I hadn't lost my job and my everything. It was, I had consequences from my overeating that made my life miserable, completely, completely miserable. And so for me, I found that I just decided I do need the 12-step program because I want to find the solution to my eating problem, my weight problem. And actually, I want to have like a resolution to all my problems, really. Not that it's going to happen all at once, but it. And so this paragraph tells me even if every single thing, I don't have every single symptom, maybe I don't have an allergy to every single binge food that some people do, you know, I could still be gravely affected by this disease. It affected me. I was very isolated. I was just isolating and binging alone. And I was very much into depression and self-hatred thoughts, and I wasn't really able to be useful in the world. So for me, that was enough to just feel that, just that misery every day, that uncomfortableness, that I wanted this solution. And, you know, if you do the program, then you can get the solution, and it's created a lot of miracles in my life, and I don't have to overeat today. And I can be a productive person today. I don't have to be running in front of fast-moving vehicles, so to speak. And so with that, I will pass.
And thank you very much for getting us started, Betsy H. And so I will now remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 38, the third paragraph down. Some of you are thinking, you're studying that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share today. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Press star
Donna,
1 to unmute.
Donna B.
Gotcha, Donna.
Jill C.
Who was that? Jill. Gotcha, Jill. Okay.
Jill C.
Yeah, thank you.
Denise B.
Denise B.
Yes.
Gotcha. Anyone else?
George E.
George E.
Correct.
Got you. I can take two more. Anybody else would like to share?
Monica.
Monica?
Kathleen W.
Okay, we'll stop there. Monica and Kathleen W. Kathleen W. Okay, so here we go. We have Donna B., Jill C., Denise B., George E., Monica. You give me your last initial when you check in, and Kathleen W. All right, everybody else, mute your phone, and Donna B., you are up. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Donna B. Donna is spelled D-A-N-A, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. What really jumps out to me is the sentence, we haven't lost everything in life. And here I have to pause and ask myself, what did I lose? And is what I lost sufficient to motivate me to continue to move forward in the steps? And I would say for myself, the most significant loss I had was the desire to live. I did not have any plans to take my life. I've never in my life been suicidal, but there were many, many, many times I would think to myself, when is this going to be over? How long is this going to last? How long am I going to live like this? And I've been told that there's a difference between wanting to kill yourself and wanting to die. And for me, what I lost was the desire to live. So although I had a job and a husband and children and financial security and travels and friends, there was a man in program who once said to me, that my life looked like science fiction, that women would be lining up in the streets to have my life. So despite having all of those things and all of those markers of success, I lost the desire to live. And that was certainly sufficient to have me want what this book was offering, what my fellows were offering. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. And our next person will be Jill C., followed by Denise B. Good morning, Jill, and tell us where you're from, please.
Good morning. This is Jill C. from California. I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and I love this paragraph. To me, it means it's the escape clause. You know, it's like, okay, I've read this far into the book and I may be buying into it, but now I can leave because I don't have exactly X, Y, and Z like the next person. And yet that was my first reaction to it. But then looking at it closer, you know, comparison is, what did they say? Comparison is the root of dissatisfaction, or, you know, there's some saying like that. It doesn't matter. I'm going to have habits that are worse than someone else and not quite as bad as someone else. What matters is, how am I feeling about it? And when I was overeating and when I was in the sugar and the flour, I was manic. And it was crazy for me. And I resonated with the last share. You know, some things looked really great on the outside, but on the inside, I was not satisfied. And I knew something was wrong. So when I started coming to this program in late October last year, it was such a relief. So when I got to this paragraph, it wasn't really, well, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not jaywalking, so maybe this isn't for me. But I looked at everything else. What, you know, look at the peace you've gotten. Look at the freedom you feel. Look at how calm your life is now. Look at how you have a fellowship, how you can ask your higher power for everything to help you through the day. Isn't that great? And are you willing to let all of that go just because you think you don't qualify how you quote unquote should? And so I think this is a great paragraph, and you know, some people might actually not be ready for OA, and that's fine. But for me, this is a great place, and it doesn't matter that I don't look like everyone else. We're just all in it together. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Jill C. Denise B., followed by George E. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Denise B., recovered in New York City. I don't know. I haven't shared in a while, but when I heard this paragraph, I really loved it because I love the line, thanks for sharing the information. It's like, yeah. Almost everything applies to me. Hey, thanks for the information. I'm going to just continue to go do what I do. And when I came into this program, I was really desperate. I was definitely at, you know, hopefully what was my bottom. And I don't even remember reading this paragraph, but I certainly remember reading this paragraph with others as I sponsor, and how the mind is just looking for a way to just get out of the situation and continue to keep us in the substance, right? So after I had been recovered in OA for almost a year, I relapsed. And even after spending my whole life struggling with this and then not even knowing it was possible to have neutrality around food, and then getting that through working the program and doing the steps, and then thinking, oh, maybe I don't have this problem, right? So like that doubt comes in. So it's like, well, let's try, right? And then relapsing. And then luckily being able to get back into it, I thought, maybe I don't need this. So it just reminds me how this really is centered in our mind. And really the main thing I have to do is keep my mind right, you know, keep my mind focused on that I am a compulsive overeater, that it, you know, it never goes away, you know, keeping a connection with a higher power, you know, listening to everybody on this line, staying connected, you know, to my higher power and to people, and just the remembrance of what it was like to be in the food, and how wonderful my life is now that I'm not, how free it is. And, you know, it's funny. It's a funny thing, because my mind would tell me, you're not free. You can't eat this. You can't do that. There's a restriction here. Hey, you never have to lose 100 pounds. Hey, are you sure? Are you sure? But, you know, thank God today I am sure. It doesn't matter. My life was controlled by food, period. Doesn't matter how much weight I need to lose. Doesn't matter what my depth was versus somebody else's, you know, end of the road there to come into this program. You know, did food disrupt my life in a way that was unbelievable? Yes. Okay. Then I'm an addict. Okay. So, hey, there's a solution. Thank God. Anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Denise B. George E., followed by Monica. Good morning, George.
Yeah, George E., covering compulsive eater in Ohio. Thanks for your service, Mo. I think this paragraph, it's just a little irony in my life that I was at a meeting last Wednesday, and I had the honor of picking the reading. And I picked this paragraph, actually preceded by the paragraph, you know, maybe three before that. And, you know, this paragraph reminds me, well, what flashed through my mind this morning was, yeah, but. And, you know, I'm a categorical thinker, and, you know, I see that pattern. I call it the rehab but. You know, it the paragraph does remind me of Roland. You know, like, you know, he went to the great doctor, he worked hard for a year, he got this great insight to the mind, but that wasn't enough. It was never enough. So this paragraph is sort of reiterating in a weird way how self-knowledge cannot do the trick, whatever the trick is. And yeah, the last sentence, thanks for the information. Clearly passive aggressive, you know. Yeah, I don't need y'all because I know better. But the irony of it is that the paragraph follows what I call parable. You know, it's to me, the jaywalker took on new meaning later in my 12-step work, because it's about obsession, you know, the jaywalker itself. And this paragraph is just, oh, it's linking two stories is what it's doing. But it's telling what the thinking pattern is, you know, and I see it myself. It doesn't mean I know what to do about it. That's why I say recovering. But thank you for having this meeting, and I do enjoy the unity of the meeting, and it was poor impulse control that I shared today. So have a great day, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you very much, George, for your sharing. Yes, and next we'll have Monica, followed by Kathleen W. Monica, could you give us the first initial of your last name and your state?
Okay. California.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm calling from California. I'm bulimic and compulsive overeater and restricted. I love this paragraph. It's because it shows me how my mind operates, and my mind operates that I studied psychology to help myself, and I look at my sister and I saw that she doesn't eat compulsively, therefore I felt abnormal. And the truth being said, I eat and throw up for 27 years before I stopped my bulimia and tremendous amount of food and throwing up in the airplanes and in other countries and going to the store at 3 or 4 a.m. to get more food. And my mind was telling me it's not that bad. It's just my mind is living by itself and convince itself of all the things. So and it's still true today. I know only what I know, nothing else. And what I know is very selective. Therefore, I'm profoundly grateful for the sponsor to show me more and quiet time to be shown more and have an open mind, because this paragraph for me is the opposite of open mind and keeps me in the lies. And the lies are so convincing that that I believe in them. I mean, they make so much sense for me and still do. So it's good for me to, like, the most powerful sentence I can say to myself is just, I don't know, because that gives me a little bit space for God and other people to show me something different that I've been thinking and believing for years, because that's the only thing that keeps me sick is this my thinking. And not right or wrong, I'm a human. It's just good for me to notice that the psychology didn't help, my self-knowledge didn't help. I've read tons of self-help books and just didn't do for me in the program. And I now have bulimia for a year and a half, and I just started a new food plan and working the steps with my sponsor from the beginning. So I feel like a newcomer, but I'm grateful for the open mind and the paragraphs and to being shown more. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica K. And before we go to Kathleen W., just let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 38, the third paragraph. It's the last paragraph in the on that page. Some of you are thinking. And after Kathleen, I will take some more names. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. Kathleen W. from Illinois. So glad to be on the line today. And I can so relate to this paragraph more than all the others before it, because I was a high bottom drunk, and I was also a high bottom compulsive overeater. And it's funny that it that's how it was for me. I came into OA before I got any lower on my bottom, by God's grace. I thank God for that. But it's been a real struggle for me to be convinced about that I am a compulsive overeater, because I haven't experienced a lot of what I hear people have experiencing on the line. But I've had to look not at the differences, but at the similarities. And so that's what I've done in my 10 years in OA. I've looked at the similarities, and what was similar to me was, you know, the shame and the guilt all around my eating. Even though I had not become obese, I was overweight, but I had not reached the point of being obese. But I did have the shame and the guilt and the misery. My emotional nature was still unstable around a lot of things. I had a hard time being honest about the food that was one that kind of gave me the clue that, you know, maybe I had a problem here. So, you know, I could say I was, you know, I had not gone to the extremes that you fellows did, nor was I likely to. And you know what? That is a place that I think that's a place of delusion or illusion for me. I feel like I did my yets. There were still a lot of yets for me. And thank God I did not have to go there just by God's grace. And did I really understand myself? No, I really did not understand this disease in myself. And it took coming, you know, week after week to the meetings, struggling to be honest, working with sponsors, to even get to where I am now, which I am now recovered. And this is, and I, after 10 years in OA, it's the first time that I can say I'm recovered and I have this neutrality towards food. I did not have that. So I'm just grateful that God brought me in, even though I was high bottom. But, you know, and it's helped me through the struggle. And I kept coming back because, you know, it took me a long time to smash the idea that I can eat like other people. So I used to kind of be jealous that I wish I had the desperation of others. I just didn't have it. But I kept coming back, and I'm grateful for that. And you know, God has answered my prayers in this area of my life. Thanks a lot. I'm pass.
Yeah, thank you, Kathleen W. And let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 38, the third paragraph. Some of you are thinking that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will now open the lines for those who would like to share.
Chris,
was that Chris?
Yeah.
Chris K. A. I got Annabelle Z. There was somebody else in there.
Well, Rebecca B.
Was it Marilyn K?
Marilyn K?
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Miriam K.
Miriam C. Rosalind K. Was there a Miriam? Okay,
yes, Miriam
K. Yeah. All right, okay, and then Rosalind, what was your last initial?
C.
Thank you. I can take one more.
Carol Lee F.
Chris K, Annabelle Z, Marilyn K, Miriam K, Rosalind C, and Carol Lee F. And if I got those last initials wrong, please correct me and give us the name of your state when you share. Chris K, you're up first, followed by Annabelle Z.
All right. Hi, it's Chris with a K, and then it's A as in apple is my last initial.
Oh, A. Sorry.
Yep. That's okay. And
got
I'm
it.
Calling from California.
Great.
I
got it.
Okay. All right, good. And I'm a recovering compulsive eater. When I first read this paragraph with you this morning, the first thing that popped out was, but it doesn't fully apply. Yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. And the reason that popped out is because throughout my life, my disease has been so deceiving because I guess the person just before me called something, I've never heard this, but a high bottom. Because of the ways my life has been impacted, it's been easy to rationalize and minimize the extent of my issues with food. But when I look back and I think of my biggest desires, one of my biggest desires most of my life has been just to be available to live out the purposes that God has given me and to be used as his instrument. But when I look back over the decades, I've had short periods of what I would call abstinence or healthy eating, and the ways God uses me is amazing. But when I am controlled by the obsession of the mind and my cravings, I'm not. And when I look back, that's what's brought me to OA, is having my mind be so obsessed with either not eating or eating, waking up in the morning in fear of what's today going to look like, having a day that I just need complete release, leaving work and knowing the first place I'm stopping is somewhere to grab some food before I get home for dinner so that I can just kind of numb myself out. And it's just been this relentless cycle of thinking I found the right food plan, and even knowing there were spiritual dimensions. I mean, I've even been readily acknowledging over the years that there was a spiritual condition, because it was obvious to me when I was in the food or obsessing about the food, I was definitely not walking a life of faith that I desired to walk. But because I wasn't losing my job, because I had a good marriage, because most things in my life looked on the outside doable, normal, many times as soon as I would get abstinent or have some healthy eating, I would convince myself I was a normal eater. And I hope this is my last stint. I've been in OA now, I think, a couple of months, and I think I'm about 50 days of a good abstinence and working with a sponsor. And but I can tell when I start feeling like I am right now, more clear-minded, more purposeful, I've got to keep working the steps so that I remember that I cannot ever be a normal eater. And it would take one bite. All right, it would take one bite for me to be obsessing again. Thank you so much, everybody, for your service. I appreciate it.
And thank you, Chris A. from California. Annabelle Z., you're up next, followed by Marilyn K.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z., and I am a compulsive overeater recovering here in Washington. Thank you so much for everyone's shares. This has just been, I had no idea this paragraph would bring up so much for me this morning. I'm kind of teary. This tells me that I have to remember what I felt like when I came into program in October. I was so down and out and miserable and stunned by my own self-deceit and deception of other people in regards to what I was eating, how much I was eating, you know, how I was eating. I'm just kind of stunned that I would forget it, right? And this paragraph, when it says, you know, oh, after, you know, we haven't gone to the extremes you fellows did. It's like, well, how much extreme do you want to do, Annabelle? Like, how far in the pit do you want to feel? And, you know, I imagine, well, other people were there. Well, I wasn't there. You know, other people weighed 400 pounds. I didn't weigh. Who cares what other people felt? I was suicidal and desperate and miserable and isolated and alone in a room full of people. And hiding when there wasn't a room full of people, you know, if they were coming, I just had this anxiety. They're going to come and they're going to find out, you know, that constant feeling I'm going to be found out. What a horrific place for my mind to be. And yet I lived there for so long without even knowing I was living there. And this this paragraph also brings up for me a lot of sadness, because I came into OA when I was 20-some years old, like in 1995, 4, 5, 6 kind of time, a couple different times with an Oregon and in Minnesota. And I just couldn't relate. I was like, you know, these people, yeah, you know, that's great, but I didn't lose all that. Look, I didn't, and it was, you know, thanks to the information, it was exactly this paragraph. And I came in October, and I remember thinking when I first came in, I'm like, this is my true disease, because I had been in a different 12-step program now almost 30 years. It'll be 30 years on next Monday. And I thought, if I just did another 4-step right, if I just, you know, did enough prayer, you know, but I didn't have this fellowship and I didn't have the commiseration. I didn't have the understanding. Anyway, the credits do not transfer at all from other programs at all. And I thought, oh my gosh, all these years I've been listening to people in the other programs say that they've been doing it for decades. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? When you figure out that you have a problem, why would you go back to it? And yet that's what I did with food. I kept going back to the food every time I knew I had a problem. So I'm so grateful. I have to remember what it felt like. I have to relate, and I have to continuously keep in the book of reading the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, more about alcoholism. And go through it with others to remind myself. That's the purpose of the 12th step. Thank you so much. Have an awesome day.
Thank you, Annabelle Z. from Washington State. Marilyn K., followed by Miriam K.
Yes, I'm Marilyn K. from Oregon. And thank you for all the service work that all of you do. And I listen most weekdays, and I really learn a lot from others. The sentence that stood out for me is, we admit we have some of these symptoms. We have not gone to the extremes that you fellows did. And I look at my pictures sometimes and I think, well, you know I have the obsession of the mind, but I don't have the weight issue that some people have. Really, am I a compulsive eater? And I think, oh, yeah, the obsession of the mind and the yo-yoing up and down of a small amount was not good for my body, and you do need to be here. And I know that God was nudging me to share. I don't share a lot at this meeting, but I listen and learn a lot. But I think, you know, I really could have learned from what's in this paragraph. And so I said, okay, I'll push star one. Then I get on and you said Marilyn K. Well, actually, I apologize, Miriam K. I think you were the one that actually said it, but I heard you say Marilyn K. So I said, okay, I'm here. I think you're calling me, God. So I think it's a good example of I need to pause and just see what God has to say. I know God will call me. That I'll listen more today on follow and what God wants me to be. So thanks for everybody, and I will pass.
All right, that's definitely a God moment. Well, thank you for sharing, Marilyn Kay. And now we have Miriam Kay.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for all the shares. And my place in line is exactly where God has me, and that's also okay.
And where are you from, Miriam?
I'm Miriam Kay. I'm from New York, Eastern Standard Time. I relate in so much to this whole Jaywalker, and especially in this paragraph. And what's coming up for me so much is, like, when I came into these rooms, I came in with the attitude of, like, I'm different. I'm not like you. I'm not relating in. I could not relate in. Maybe I chose not to relate in because I didn't want to relate in, but on a conscious level, I looked at everybody and I said, not me. Not me. But yet, there was something about the rooms that had me coming back. And as a matter of fact, once I went into the rooms, I stopped doing other things to try to control my weight, because somewhere in my subconscious, I knew that this is what I needed. And I'm just so grateful to see it in black and white and to be able to, like, chuckle and think to myself, like, I didn't do the extremes that other people did. Like, I could not relate into those people, but today I cannot relate out. Like, I am this. This is me. I raise my hand. I'm like the first one to say, yup. I shake my head, but everyone else is shears. Even if my symptoms, my outward symptoms and things that I do, actions, were a little bit different, but the disease mind, the disease thinking, this is me. This is where I am. And I'm just so full of gratitude today that I can say, yes, this was me, and no, I don't want to be like this. And the only way I can arrest this is by working the 12 steps every day and on every thought of mine, because my thinking is stinking, and it's still that way. And that's why I'm grateful that I have the step 10s, that I can clean it up before it gets piled up, and then I may possibly go back into thinking that I'm not like that anymore. I don't need this, or I can go back to two-stepping instead of 12-stepping, or anything, any other crazy, absurd behavior that I might have. So I just want to thank everybody who comes every day and shares and gives me so much strength and hope, and the leaders and everybody else that makes this meeting possible. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Miriam Kay from New York. Okay, we have Rosalind C., followed by Carol Lee F. I believe I have those right, Rosalind. Is it Rosalind or Rosalie?
It's Rosalind.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Rosalind C. from Ohio. And this paragraph just really stood out because it's denial. When he says, I'm not ready to admit, that doesn't fully apply to me. I don't have all your symptoms. And thank you very much, but I'm not like you. I'm not quite there yet. I was not quite there yet. I hadn't hit my bottom, and I kept thinking there was other ways, there were other programs, there were other avenues, because I'm just not quite like you, you guys. And I still had to try something different, a different way. so I wasn't ready to admit I can't control this disease. I really cannot. And I likely won't be able to. I have to understand that also. So I had to fully buy into this program. I had to stop denying. I had to stop looking for easier ways. I had to stop thinking that I could control, because I couldn't. I had to come back into these rooms and admit, I am powerless. I cannot do this by myself. And with all you guys and listening every day and hearing your stories, they're my stories. And I need to take them and use them in this process, because they're the way out, along with the higher power that leads and guides me. Thank you for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Rosalind C. and Carol Lee F. You will be up next. Good morning, Carol. I think it's Carol Lee.
Good morning. My name is Carol Lee F. from Washington State. And I just want to thank everyone for their service and their shares. I'm so glad I found Vision. I have dabbled for years off and on with OA. And I could really relate to this paragraph. You know, I was the one was like, thanks very much, but I'm not there yet. And I kept trying to control, play with it, and finally, last week I stopped saying yeah, but. And I've been getting up and listening to the early meetings, and I'm glad I found out there's this later meeting for people in my own time zone. And also I did register on the website, and I've been listening to the recorded messages in between. And I just wanted to say thank you for helping me save my life. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Carol Lee. And we have time for one more person. If someone else would like to share on this paragraph, page 38, the third paragraph down, some of you are thinking. Rebecca B. Okay, you're up, Rebecca.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Rebecca B. in Wisconsin, and I'm a recovering overeater. What stands out to me in this paragraph is such things cannot happen again. And for me, this paragraph is all about honesty. Clearly, such things have happened again over and over and over. And so it's in the honesty, and someone mentioned denial, certainly. It's in the honesty that if I look back at my food history, I can see the pattern. If I'm in the food, I can be delusional, and I can easily convince myself that it's not a problem. And interestingly, a lot of people have been talking about their bottoms. I think that I hit my bottom long before I entered OA. I think I had to hit my bottom and crawl back up a little bit till I was strong enough or willing or, you know, quite frankly, able, because I get so terribly depressed when I'm in the food. I had to be in a state of mind where I could take suggestion. And so I really appreciate this meeting, and I will pass.
Well, thank you very much. And I think on that note, we'll close a little bit early to give time for new members and sponsees. So thank you all for your shares. And this is the last Monday of February, so we'll be meeting again next Monday on March 1st, but every day this week. And I will now ask Laura R. to read A Vision for You, page 164. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. All right. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.